I'm here tonight to tell you, man, this, you guys have planted so many seeds just in people's lives, and I'm one of those promises that have come back that you get to see, one of those blessings that you, those seeds that you've sown. And I'm here to tell you, man, God has really, really blessed me to be able to do amazing things, and it's all because of Victory Church. I'm telling you, it is. Man, I have baptized so many boys and girls and youth, people who've said, you know what, I want to take my life to the next level in my dedication with Jesus Christ. And man, I baptized all kinds of kids that were so excited. We've opened up a basketball and cheerleading league there at our church. And it was all because of Victory Christian School there, playing basketball in the gym, that in the cold gym. Man, it was cold. A lot of times I had to warm up. But we've got this league, over 200 students of kids that are basketball players and cheerleaders. And what's so different, it's not just a regular basketball or cheerleading league. At the beginning of our practice and our games, we bring the kids up, we huddle them up in center court, and we bring devotions. We give them devotions, we give them the Word of God. We're not so interested in their skills on the court, but we're more interested on their skills off the court. Like, we're trying to show them how to have character, integrity, things that are very important. You know, I learned a long time ago when I was about in 11th, 12th grade that I was not going to be an NBA player. All right? It crushed me. I was crushed. But I did learn confidence. I did learn that I can do all things through Jesus Christ. And so that's what we're teaching these kids. And it is an outreach in our community. A lot of the people in the community are not church. They're unchurched people, but they want their kids to come and be a part of a basketball and cheerleading program. So we are able to be able to bring the gospel to these unchurched people, and they've seen the hand of the Lord. I remember like our last week, we have a play area, a little playground area in our gym with the tunnels and ball pit and different things. And there's a kid that was sliding down the tunnel. And as he was going down the slide, there was another kid that was coming right across, and they smacked heads, and it split his head wide open. Blood everywhere. It was like a horror movie. Man, it was horrible. Blood was on babies and everything. Oh, it was bad. And man, people were freaking out and didn't know what to do. We called the ambulance, and they came and picked the kid up. And it was an opportunity for Jesus to be displayed to these people. So what I did was I said, hey, let's all of us come together and let's just begin to pray. Let's begin to pray for this healing, immediate healing. And as they, man, we became together and prayed. About an hour later, I get this phone call, and it's the kid at the hospital wanting a video chat with me. I looked at him. He says, Pastor Stephen, I want to come back to play some basketball. And the people got to see how when you come together and when you pray, man, God just shows up and miracles happen. No, man, all kinds of things are happening. It's all because of a product of all because of your prayers and your support and you guys supporting me when I was that bad kid going around and doing all kinds of crazy things here at the church. I thank you guys for not giving up on me. Hey, anyway, I just want to share just a little bit tonight. I want to encourage you. It's 2018. And man, we need a word. We want a word from God that we can hold on to. The good thing about God's word is it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It'll take you to 2018 and 19. And so I believe that God kind of put this on my heart, and I think, man, I hope it'll bless you. But I'm here tonight to tell you how whatever you think about yourself, whatever someone has said about yourself, you are definitely unique. You're special. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're special. Yes, I mean special. I know I saw some of those looks to say, yeah, I don't know if I would use that word special. I'd probably go with something. You're something. How about that? We'll go with something. But you are. You are so unique. You are so special. You need to know that. You need to understand that God has created you and made you unique. He has custom made you. And I remember as a kid, I just knew I was special. Out of all the kids, there's four of us. I was like, hey, I'm the best. I'm the most special kid that mom and dad has. I'm unique. I'm very different. And I just knew that about myself. And, you know, parents, their job is to pick up on these things. Hey, my dad, that kid there, he's got something there. And I just knew they did. And mom, as we were kids, she would go and turn on Jimmy Swaggart throughout the day when I was a kid. Anybody remember Jimmy Swaggart? We all remember Jimmy Swaggart. Yeah, she would turn on Jimmy Swaggart, and I'd watch Jimmy Swaggart. And I just got the luck. I was only maybe 5 or 6 years old. But I watched him, and I said, Mama, I'm going to be Jimmy Swaggart when I grow up. I want to be Jimmy Swaggart. That's exactly who I want to be when I grow up. And mom was, hey, Jimmy Swaggart. She was so excited I was going to be Jimmy Swaggart. So as parents always do, we're going to try to cuss. We're going to help our kids out. We're going to push them along the way. So mama, She went out and she bought me a pinstripe suit. Boy, she bought me one of them Southern Baptist suits. I was so excited. Pinstripe black, man. I would go and put that thing on and I would walk around like I was Jimmy Swaggart. And everyone, and just to, for the added touch, she'd give me a little sweat rag. And I would pull it out and just wipe my face. Oh, and preach the word. Boy, I was so excited I was going to be Jimmy Swaggart. So when parents want to brag about their kid and let everybody know that there's something special, what do? They take them to the beauty salon. Everything happens at the beauty salon. People, if you want to get the word out, if you want to sell something, buy something, anyway, it's there at the beauty salon. You can find out anything that you want to know at the beauty salon. So Mama, she takes me to the beauty salon. She wanted to show me off in front of everybody. I'm going to be Jimmy Swaggart. So she gets under the curlers, under the dryer, different things. Steven, go tell everybody who you're going to be when you grow up. I get up. I pull my sweat rag out. I wipe my face a little bit. I'm going to be Jimmy Swaggart when I grow up. Yay! All the people were so excited. Oh, man, he's got something. He's going to be something special. Well, as we all know, what happened to Jimmy Swaggart? Yeah, he got into some sins and different things. And his man, he was a huge televangelist and got in trouble. And that whole, man, his whole ministry just kind of toppled down. And you know, you can't tell a five-year-old he cannot be Jimmy Swaggart anymore. You just can't tell him. And Mama was going to the beauty salon. And I said, Mom, I want to put my suit on. I want to go with you. I want to go to the salon. She said, all right, Steve, you can go with me, all right? But well, listen, when we get in here, she gave the talk that all the parents give the call talk. When you get in here, you go in there and you sit down. Don't touch nothing. Don't say nothing. I was like, all right, Mom, I'm going there. So Mama's under the dryer getting her stuff dried. And I'm sitting there and five-year-old's fidgeting, man. I don't know how long I can sit down, man. I want to get up. I want to say something. I want to preach. I want to do something. So I get up and I say, hey, everybody, I'm going to be Jimmy Swaggart when I grow up. Boy, Mom, she jumped out from under the curlers and she put her hand over my mouth and said, Stephen, you better stop saying that. You better tell them what you said, what I told you that you're going to be when you grow up. So she slowly pulled her hand off my mouth and I said, but Mama, I don't want to be like Jesus. But I knew I was going to be something special and something unique when I grew up. I just knew it. And I want to tell you that tonight, that you are something special. You are created. You were tailored for a specific purpose. And if you look in the Bible, it's all over the Bible. It's all over creation. When we look in the Bible, look in Genesis, we see that God, the creator of the universe, how he created everything with just words. He spoke and light, let there be light. And he said he created the fish and the sea and the birds and the air. And he created the beast of the field, and he said it was good after he created all of these things. But when he got to man, he did something different that he didn't do with any of his creations. It says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says that then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground. Not at this point, he had never had any physical contact with any creation that he had created. But when he decided to make man, he said, I'm going to have a personal relationship. I'm going to have a personal contact with this creation. And it says in the Bible that he began to shape us and form us. And it says that the God of the universe breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Everybody say, I was specifically made, amen? That's right. You were specific. You were tailored for a specific purpose. And you are unique. You are special. A lot of us, we try to figure out why we would never fit in. I just want to have friends. I just want to be normal. But God made you for something specific. He didn't make you to be common. But it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 that God has called you out. Come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. And he's trying to tell you, look, you're not common. I called you for something specific, for a specific purpose, for a specific goal. And when we think in our hearts and our minds, we have this notion that, you know, we've tried everything. And then after I tried everything, after I was at the end of my rope, the bottom of my barrel, you know, I tried everything. I tried drugs. I tried alcohol. I tried this and that. And I tried yoga. I tried everything. I mean, anything. Then finally, you know, I chose God. And when I chose God, that was the best decision that I've ever made. But it's the wrong thinking. Because we look in John chapter 15, it says that you didn't choose me. He says, but I chose you. And he says, I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. See, we're thinking that we chose God and we had everything. Man, I tried everything and I chose God, but you did not. God, he had you specifically made for a purpose before the beginning of time, and he chose you and said, I need you because I have a job for you. I have something specific for you. God put it in your heart for you to come to him. God put people in your path so that they can tell you that you need to come to Christ. You didn't do it on your own. God did that. God was the one that brought you out. God was the one that put the conviction in your heart that you were feeling when you were doing the wrong things you were doing. That was God that did that. So you did not choose God. But it says in John chapter 15 that he chose you. Well, why would he choose me? I'm just Camden, Arkansas. What God, what do you want from me? And it says in that rest of the verse, it says that he chose you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. It's because he chose you because you were the most productive. There's no one else that could do the job that he needed you to do the way you can do it. No one else in this entire world can do what God needed you to do like you can do it. Because you are the only one that can bear fruit like God wanted you to bear fruit. And that's what he's saying in that scripture. And then fruit that would last. It's not going to go and die, but this is fruit, the things that you're going to do, that I've called you to do, it's going to last. And then we all understand that we're tailored for a specific purpose and goal. And that we're unique. That God has created us to be unique and special. But there's something that happens in this thought process, in this mentality. And I like to call it the snowflake syndrome. So what do you mean? What's the snowflake syndrome? When I was in school, the teachers would tell us about the story of the snowflake, how there's no two snowflakes alike. And then God, through the way he designs and does this art and with wind and water and the temperature, that there's no two snowflakes that are ever alike. And we begin to think, because I am unique, because I am different, I am special, I am a little snowflake, that I am so unique that my purpose and my goal is more important than the purpose of the body of Christ. That's the mentality that a lot of us get, especially in church, in our own lives, that we think that we, our agenda and what we have to accomplish, our aspirations in life are way more important than the purpose of the body of Christ. And that's that snowflake syndrome. And when that happens, the devil begins to put thoughts into our minds that what we've got to do is way more important. What I'm going through right now is way more important than what you're going through. The body of Christ may need me and need me to help do some things here at Victory Church, and you may need me to help you and stand in the gap and pray with you, but I've got some other things in my life that I'm dealing with too, okay? My things are way more important, and that's basically what's happening is we think that we are unique, and our purpose and goal is more unique and more important than what God has called us to do. Seeds of disunity and discord are sown when our goals become more important than the purpose of the body of Christ. The devil understands that if he can isolate you, if he can get you to feel that your goal, your purpose, your aspirations in life are more important, he can isolate you and you are no longer unified with the body of Christ. Satan understands the power of unity and he understands the power of disunity. It all starts with a seed and it begins to grow, and it's not a new tactic that he's been doing. He's been doing this since the beginning of time. If you remember, Satan was not Satan. That wasn't his name. His name used to be Lucifer. And we all know what Lucifer means. It means the bright and morning star. God custom made Lucifer to have a specific job and a purpose and a goal. He was supposed to be the bright and morning star. Brightness, that's literally what his name means, what Lucifer means. And if you read in Isaiah chapter 14, he had this idea of, you know what? Yeah, I have a job. And I know what God created me to do. But you know what? I think what I want to do is more important. My agenda is more important than what God has created me to be. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. How have you fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn? You have been cast down to earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, here's what we say, I will ascend to the heavens, I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. And then all of a sudden, his purpose, his dreams, his aspirations became more important than what God has created him to do. And it says in the Bible, they cast him down from heaven. When I look at one of my best stories in the Bible is the Tower of Babel. And a lot of people think, well, that's a horrible story. But I love it. Because here's what it shows. It shows the power of unity. Listen to this. Genesis chapter 11. It says, but the Lord came down. Let me give you a little backstory. The people came together. City. I don't know how many people. It was a lot of people. They came together. And they had one purpose in their heart. And they were going to build this tower to heaven. They had said that, hey, we all speak the same language. We're all in one accord. We all have the same heart. We all have the same mind. Let's come together. Let's build a tower to heaven to reach God, to make a name for ourselves. There's the key. He says, we're going to make a name for ourselves. We know what happens when we get prideful and we want to make a name for ourselves. Listen to this. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. This is important. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. When people come together, when you and I come together for one specific purpose, for one goal, there is nothing that we can't do. Two things I get out of this story. When we are unified, we have the attention of God. When we come together on Wednesday nights in prayer and in worship, we are unified and we have the attention of God. There's only a few times in the Bible where it says God comes down from the throne. This is one of those occasions. We can get God's attention if we could just forget our differences. We can move God if we just come together. Here's the second thing I get out of the story. It says, when we are unified, there is nothing that is impossible. When we are one heart, one mind, and one spirit, we are unstoppable. And that was what I wanted to title of my message tonight. Unstoppable. Everybody say, I am unstoppable when I come together with fellow believers. Amen. Listen to this. Jesus in John chapter 17, Jesus, he knows his time is ending. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 18, Jesus is being arrested. But when we look at John chapter 17, Jesus begins to pray. He's beginning to pray for his disciples. And think, this is Jesus' last moments. You would think, you know, a lot of people, when it's their last moments, they're saying, hey, I just want to let you know. And, you know, I broke the window in the house. And, man, I got a lot of stuff to confess that when I get there. But when Jesus, he knows the end is near, he begins to tell him the most important things that he wants his disciples and the people to know. Listen to this. He begins to pray for his disciples first. But then in John chapter 17, verse 20, he begins to pray for us. He begins to pray for believers that are to come. He begins to pray for us because he knows the most important thing is unity. Listen to this. John chapter 17, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Jesus wanted us to emulate the oneness that Jesus and his Father displayed. He wanted us to come together just like Jesus was emulating God the Father. He said it all the time. Well, oh, we want to see God. His disciples kept saying, well, we want to see God. And Jesus is like, here he is right here. I'm emulating what my Father has shown me and what he's done. What did it look like? What does unity look like? What does it look like, that oneness? John chapter 17, verse 4, a little earlier in that chapter, it says, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. When we are in unity, when we are in one accord, we begin to finish and complete the purpose of God the Father. This shows unity is oneness of purpose. I have completed the work that you have given me. God, I understand my purpose. I understand what you have created me to be and to do, and I am going to complete it. I'm going to work on it, and we're going to come together, and we're going to complete it. The definition of unity is the state of being united or joined as a whole. Unity is not sameness. Unity is where, not the sameness where everybody is the same. And I think the world gets hung up on that. They think that us coming together, the only way we can come together is for us to be the same. And that is not what unity is. But unity is joining together of unique differences in order to achieve a common purpose. It's saying, I see your differences. I see your background is a little different from mine, but guess what? We have the same purpose and goal, and that's to lift up the kingdom of heaven. That's what my purpose is. All right? Unity is purpose-driven, and it is not persons-driven. When it's persons driven, it's saying, hey, here's my agenda. Here's my goal. Here's what I'm trying to accomplish here in my life. I need you to come help me. That's not unity. But unity is purpose driven. Hey, what is the purpose of the body of Christ? You see it? I see it. Well, let's come together and let's achieve this purpose, this goal that God has called Victory Church to do. And that is unity. Three areas of life that God has called us to be unified. Number one is family. God has called us to be unified in our family. When God started out, he could have started out with the Nobel Peace Prize winners and all these smart people and philosophers and theologians and, you know, Congress and Senate. And, I mean, he could have started with that, but he didn't. He started with a man, woman, and kids. How many of you guys have kids? Praise God. Yeah, I got them. So when God started, he started with a family, the most simplistic unit of unity. That's what he wanted to start with. Now, when in our family and in the ministry, and our family is our first ministry, the ministry that God has given us, that he started with the family, and the devil, he tries to work on our family. And he loves to bring discord and disunity in our family. It is not something that he comes up with this secret weapon. Oh, well, let me pull this secret weapon. You're like, man, devil, I didn't know you was going to try to do that. He's been doing this a long time ago. You look at the first story in the Bible with Adam and Eve. Isolation, disunity. Satan comes to Eve. When? By herself. Where was Adam when the devil was talking to Eve? He knew it. He knows that if I can get you alone. And he begins to talk about things. He begins to deceive her and use deceptiveness. And you have to ask yourself, where is Adam? He's probably sitting on the couch watching Monday Night Football. And he isolates us, and he isolated Eve. And the devil is doing the same thing today. I remember when I was a kid, I would go ask my mom, Mom, can I go hang out with my friends tonight? Stephen, no, I don't want you hanging around them people. Nope, you can't go out with them. I know what I can do. What do? We go ask my daddy. So we go and we go talk to Dad. Dad, can we go out and hang out with my friends tonight? Sure, son. You do whatever you want to do. You go hang out with them. Go hang out with your son. Yes. So we go jump in the car and we're having a good time. And then Mom was, hey, where's Stephen at? Well, I told him he could go hang out with his friend. You told him he could go hang. And then see, that's when the fighting starts. And that's what the devil wants to do, is he separates us and gets us this disunity, and we're all walking on eggshells in the house, and tempers are flared, and everything is happening in our family, and the devil is just rubbing his hands. He's like, yeah. Satan uses our kids. If there is no peace in your house, if tensions are high, attitudes are high, you gotta call an emergency meeting. You do. My dad is infamous for calling it. I remember, man, late at night, in the middle of the night, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, the daddy's hollering and screaming, there's a snake in the house! There's a snake in the house! And we're all crying and jumping on our beds, and daddy's under our bed, where's he at? And so he finally pulls us together and said, no, I just had a dream that there was a snake in the house. We got to get him out. We got to pray him out. We're like, Dad, come on, man. You going to wake us up for that? Hey, I'm serious. When there is a discord in the family, bring your family together. Bring unity together, because what happens is people forget what we're here for. We put these things on our doorpost or on our doors and our bathrooms. As for me and my house and Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Well, family, we tend to forget that stuff. You have to bring your family together and say, hey, here's why we are here. Here is why God brought us together. We are not going to succeed until we come together in unity. If you want to change your finances and your family, change your job, you want to pray for lost loved ones and your family income, come together. That's what you have to do. Second thing that God wants us to be unified in is the body of Christ, the church. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ, for we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given to the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. We are very, there's many of us with differences, different backgrounds. But we all come together. We all come together to acknowledge our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ here. We have to be more unified as the body now more than ever so that the Holy Spirit can manifest for the world to see. The world has to see us come together, because when they see the Holy Spirit, they will know, hey, man, that church, I may need to try that out. I may need to get myself in church. And until we become unified, they're not going to see God's presence. They're not going to see the Holy Spirit manifested. And the main reason is because we haven't figured out what our purpose was. Why God has called us to here, to victory. Why are we here? Why did you give me these parents? Why are all these questions that we have? And when we begin to seek God and ask God, what is our purpose? Why are we here? God begins to reveal us our purpose. And then now we can fully function in the body of Christ because we know what we're here for. We know what we're supposed to do. It is vital that we know our purpose. The starting of the first church, one accord, the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit showed up. When we are actively achieving our purpose in the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit is present. Our purpose is serving the body. Kids church. Anybody serving kids church? Yes. Hey, when we're doing what God has called us to do, that's when we are 100%. Well, I don't want to go to the nursery and change diapers. I'm not about that. Well, if God has called you to do it, I think you better be obedient and do what God has called you to do. Because, hey, we're not 100% if you're not doing your purpose. If you're not doing what God has called you to do here at Victory Church, we are 85%. We are not running exactly the way God has created this body to work. God is present when we are unified in the body of Christ. When he shows up, we hinder the presence of the Holy Spirit if we are not in unity in the body of Christ. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, not on my watch. That's right. I'm going to know my purpose and I'm going to actively achieve what God has called me to do here at Victory Church so that we can be at 100%. All right. The problem is we, like I said, we are so concerned with our own agendas and our own problems and things that we have going on in our lives. You know, your job is to be nosy. You know, you're supposed to be nosy on your brothers and sisters in Christ. Hey, what's going on in your life? What can I help you pray with? Well, nothing. I'm. Our job is to be nosy. We need to know what's going on in each of our lives and stuff so that we can help each other, so that we can pray. When we're doing that, when we are actively achieving our purpose and goal, you know, your deliverance could be my deliverance. We're not. When you are 100%, then I could be 100%. Amen? Praise God. The third thing that God wants us to be unified in is our community. Right here, Camden, Arkansas, in our community. We call ourselves the United States of America, but we turn on the TV and it looks like the divided States of America. And what's so funny to me is, you know, we have this big thing that we're saying, you know, Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, Red Lives Matter. And I say to myself, why are we stating the obvious, you know, about lives matter? It's because our purpose is different. It's not the same our purpose is not the same. Our goals have shifted. How will this culture experience the freedom in Jesus Christ, the liberation of sin, healing in their homes and in their community and in this country if we're divided? If we're divided in our community, if we're trying to say, no, in order for me to come together with you, you got to be just like me, and it's not going to happen. The world needs to see the church come together. The world needs to see more of us coming together and praying. The world needs to see us coming together and be unified. Forget about whatever denomination or what. Hey, we believe the Bible. We need to believe God's word. That's what we believe. And that is what we need to do. When we come together, the world will begin to take notice. John chapter 13, verse 35. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. Hey, we'll know that you know Christ is inside of you and the Holy Spirit is working in your life if you love one another. That's what it says there. The world will take notice when the body of Christ loves each other and becomes unified. Hey, there's this song that I listened to, and it's a really cool song. And it talks about how when he grew, same thing I was talking about earlier, that he was raised believing that he was this unique thing, this something, this special thing. That he was this amazing snowflake that was just beautiful and had just this amazing design like no other. But then as he begins to get older, he realizes that he would rather be this cog, this functioning cog inside of this machinery, achieving some bigger purpose and some bigger goal. And I believe that if we have that idea, if we have that purpose, that thought in our minds and in our hearts, and understand that I want to be a part of something bigger. I want to be a part of what God is doing here at Victory Church. I don't have to be the person with the biggest personality, or I don't have to be on this stage. I don't have to do any of those things. I need to achieve my purpose and my goal so that I could be that cog that fits into that wheel that makes the body of Christ turn. Amen? Praise God. Well, you know what I want to do? I want to do something special. I want to do something different. And I thought maybe if we could try to, just for this 2018 year, let's just come together. Let's just come together right now and let's pray. Let's begin to pray. Maybe we can kind of just come across the aisles and just be unified, because when we are unified, the Holy Spirit shows up. Things happen in the Spirit. God's will is done. My deliverance and my breakthrough happens when we are unified. If you won't just grab hands of the person next to you in the aisles and stuff, and we're going to just begin to pray, because when we pray and we are unified, guess what it said? It said that God comes down from the throne. He shows up. Nothing is impossible. We become unstoppable. Victory Church becomes unstoppable when we begin to pray. We begin to achieve our purpose, and we begin to achieve our goals that God has created us to do. God, we just thank you for tonight. God, we thank you that we can come together and lift you up and acknowledge you in all that we do, because we understand that without you, we are nothing. God, we thank you for this new year. We thank you for a God that gives us new years, and it's not like the same year over and over and over, but you give us a chance to wipe the slate clean and say, hey, this year is going to be a different year. This is going to be the year that I seek your face more. This is going to be the year, God, that I pray for my brother and I get into their business and begin to intercede for my fellow Christians and fellow believers. God, this is the year that the world begin to take notice of what we're doing here at Victory Church, because we are unified. We understand our purpose and our goal and what you have called us to do here at Victory Church. How the community in the Camden and the surrounding areas will hear and know that the Holy Spirit and God, His Spirit, is alive and well because of our unity. God, as we are strengthened when we come together and the body of Christ is working 100%, we thank you, God. We acknowledge you. We ask you and invite you into this 2018 year. Take us to new heights, new depths, Lord. We pray to God that you are taking us to new levels, God, because we understand that without my other fellow believer, I cannot achieve what you have called us to be. God, that we will achieve our goals. We will achieve our purpose. We thank you, God. We stand unified. God, we have your attention, and we say, God, let your will be done in this 2018 year. We thank you for it. We give you the praise, God, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, hey, if you believe that God is going to do some amazing things in 2018, give him a great big hand clap.